a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Okay, everybody. Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Geary, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us on the program as we get through these interesting time together. And I do say it's together. So we hope that you join us on these wild rides that are KSL's Unrivaled every evening. We are so grateful that whatever sports are going on, and whatever things we're able to cover, we can still cover. And I'm appreciative of my co-host, Scott Mitchell, who's 20 miles away. It's not fun to do the show not in the same room, but we're making the sacrifice just like everybody else is. Scott, thanks for being on the program tonight. Buddy?
Always a pleasure. And you know what? Hey, it works.
Did you just call it a pleasure? What is this, Gary Herbert on the line?
A pleasure.
It's a pleasure
to serve you as a radio host.
What
here
a treasure Scott Mitchell is to the football program at Utah. So we've got a lot to talk about. And joining us right now in studio to jump in and already start talking about the NBA draft is our buddy Sam Farnsworth from KSL 5 Television. As I find our button here for the 705 cut, that's where we start with the NBA, the NBA draft. Some moves already being made by the Jazz today, of course. Let's start right there.
The Cut at 7:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Cut brought to you by, as always, Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED, sick of pills, visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a $500 free offer. An interesting tweet by our buddy Sam today, which gives us hope.
Yeah.
As the Utah Jazz just went out there, put it on the line, and traded their 23rd pick to be able to have a 38th pick and then move also back to the 27th pick of the draft. Sam Farnsworth joins us here in studio. And, Sam, your tweet today was notable players taken at the 27th spot in the NBA draft. I love numbers like this. And, Scott, you'll love it too. 2013, Rudy Gobert. Probably the most notable number, 27. Still wears the...
Well, his number 27. Yes.
He wears the number, yeah. Just to be able to remind everybody that's where right. He's at. Bogdan Bogdanovich, who's being fought over now in the
he
NBA.
Is. This is a guy... Hot commodity right now.
Pascal Siakam. Mm-hmm. Of course, we know how well he's done as well.
He was an all-star last year.
How about former Utah Ute Kyle Kuzma? And the notable 38th pick, Spencer Dinwiddie. Also in 2014. So the Jazz get the 27th and 38th pick.
Right.
Why was that move so significant? Because I talked with Ben Anderson about this today, and he was like, this is now they're drafting two players on the first night.
Yeah.
And this is a big deal because they need something because that bench was so atrocious this year.
Yeah. No, it's huge because you go from having one pick to two, right? And I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but in the NBA draft when there's only two rounds, it's just – isn't the 7-round NFL draft or the 175-round Major League Baseball draft, you know, or whatever that is. But, this is an opportunity. And historically, number 23 to number 27, there's not a whole lot of difference. You know, statistically, players picked in that range in the draft that actually have a career that lasts longer than 5 years or so in the NBA, you know, it's not that great. So whether you're picking 23rd or 27th at this point, it's not changing a whole lot, I think, of the Jazz approach to the first round in the draft. But being able to make that switch, suddenly they have a second opportunity to pick up another player, to bring them in, to compete, to test them out, to see if they're going to be a good fit for the Jazz. It's better than nothing. You get them at low cost for an opportunity to find good talent. And I think at 27, that's why I put that tweet out there, there is a legitimate opportunity to get a quality, borderline all-star type player out of that position, you know, that can reach that level within the next 2-3 years. And if you can get a good wing defender for the Jazz, a good 3-and-D guy, right? Man, that'd be an awesome fit. Or a good reserve big man, too.
Somebody who could really...
The Jazz have they've doubled their odds.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, they're at 27. They're also at 38. It's only 10 picks later.
Right.
And so they went from having one to having two, not moving down very much. But it's like they know they're not going to get a superstar. They know they're not going to get, you know, at that 20 pick. The percentages, the odds are not in their favor. But they may get some depth and some much-needed depth, and maybe through free agency, and maybe in another year or so they can find another piece. Boyan's going to be back this year. Maybe Mike Conley's a little bit better this year. The Jazz were pretty good a year ago. I mean, they weren't that far off in the bubble. They were very competitive, and so I think it's a good move. I want to kind of jump away from the Jazz just for a moment. Sure. I just want to make a general observation comment. And it was bugging me, and it's been bugging me, and now it doesn't have to bug me anymore because LaMelo Ball did not go number one.
Okay.
And that's all I care about, right?
Why do you care about that? Just because you don't like his dad, Scott? How dare
I just
you?
Don't want to hear all of the nonsense. It's like, look, it's so overhyped, and it's so so annoying. It's like fingernails on the chalkboard, and it's a real turnoff to have to listen to the dad go out and just overhype everything in the world. It's like, go play, be really good, fine. You don't see anyone else's dad out there,
right?
You know, being this like you know, snake oil salesman, and it's just really uncomfortable.
So I think though, one thing when we're talking about the Balls here and Lamar the dad,
yes,
or is it LaVar?
LaVar, sorry.
Lonzo is entering his fourth season, so he's got 3 years under his belt. And it seemed like, obviously, when he was drafted, when he was a rookie, LaVar was front and center. He was ever present. It seems like things cooled off a bit. I think he understood. I think maybe his son might have even told his dad a few things.
Well, listen, there's been some actual tattoo removal, which is not good, you know.
So I think, and I'm hopeful, that there's not a lot of LaVar Ball sightings moving forward with LaMelo either. We'll see, though.
Look, I'd be the most proud parent in the world. I mean, I'd be over the moon if my kids make it, but I would not be this annoying, obnoxious. Well, maybe, I don't
know. He gets to deal with Michael Jordan now. It'll be interesting. You know, is there going to be a Michael Jordan-LaVar Ball feud? Didn't he say that he could have taken Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Let's make this happen now, even at this age.
Maybe
now.
That's why MJ.
Let's do it.
Maybe that's why MJ brought him, just so it'd be an easier get.
All right, let's do it.
To set it up in the
practice
facility.
When he arrives in Charlotte, he's like, "All right, I'm ready. Let's go. Ball up."
I just don't know. Like, it's funny to hear, and Scott always talk. You always talk about this too, about the back and forth and the lies, the deceit that you try to run before a draft. You know, if you're a team and you go, "Oh man, we love that guy." Mm-hmm. And obviously that wasn't the case, and you don't see, you know, players just it's so different. You see things go back and forth. You see guys, you know, waffle about who they want. And here's the move that I thought that Ben made a really good point today when I was chatting with him about what this Jazz move from 23 to 27 is. I said, "Did they really fall off that much?" He goes, "No, the reality is you're very hush-hush about who you like." And the Jazz are always very different about who they like, too. It seems like they're, you know, when they pick somebody, it's like, "Hey, get used to those Eastern European pronunciations," or, you know.
No kidding.
They love to draft people that we have a hard time saying the next day. And he said something interesting, which was the person that they have their eye on for the 23rd pick will likely still be there at 27.
Yes,
that's the kind of thing that you get. And so what you get out of this is really nothing in terms of what you're going to change. I mean, it could change. A team could take that person or whoever's quote-unquote best, but it's according to whoever is your best player,
right?
That's still available.
It's your draft,
and that's hard to figure out. So we're going to take a break here. Sam's going to stay here with us for just some extra moments here as the draft goes on. The Kings are on the clock with the 12th pick. The Jazz are, Yeah, still 16 picks away from being able to make their first pick of the evening. So we'll keep our eye on that, and we'll keep going. We'll keep you updated throughout the evening. In the meantime, let's take that break. We'll come back. We're going to go over some history of the best first round of the best first overall picks ever in the history of sports, according to some person who put the list together. Scott's going to roll it out for us. It's going to be a lot of fun. Right, so stay with us. More to go right here. KSL's Unrivaled, KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.